Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Thank you, Father. You may be seated in His presence this morning. How many know it is just an awesome privilege to get to walk into the presence of the Lord and feel Him in our midst this morning? Amen. Real quick, before I get started, I do want to just say congratulations to all of our students. We had several who placed yesterday in the talent competition. And so why don't we just give them a hand of appreciation / accomplishment, all right? And we'll get some of those pictures and things posted for you all to make sure that we recognize them properly. We also just, from my heart, I want to thank all of you who came and helped throughout the weekend, and then even getting everything put back together yesterday for service this morning. And so for all of you, again, just I appreciate you very much. Give yourselves a hand, because we couldn't have done it without you, all right? And for Jessica and Stormy, I know they had a full week, but they put on a wonderful talent expo for us. Amen. So we appreciate them. She was not leading this morning not because she's lazy, all right, but because she lost her voice, all right. And so I said, well, we can all work that out together. How many are thankful for the gifts and talents that are in operation in this house? Amen. And we're so appreciative of those who can give. And we've got an amazing team of people doing that. And again, I just say thank you to all of you this morning, all right? Now, today I want to maybe kind of begin something new, but yet you're going to feel a little bit of the same theme maybe through it. But I think that's because that is where the Lord is leading us. As we sat through our Sunday school class this morning, Dennis was kind of instructing, and I kind of threw something out there that was relatable to not only the lesson, but kind of where I was going. And I thought, yeah, I'll get this stirred up. You know, I'll get the seed planted before we ever get there. And what was funny is after that, without my coaxing of any sort, there was just several things that began to kind of pile into our lesson. And I kind of looked at Shannon and I go, well, that's in my sermon. Well, that's in my sermon. Well, that's in my sermon this morning. So for a moment, I thought our Sunday school class was going to preach a little bit of my sermon this morning, but I think they left me a little bit of room to work, all right, today. So how many of you this morning have ever heard of the 1-in-60 rule? All right, maybe if you think back to it, maybe you would have heard it in geometry. How many took geometry? I got to be really honest with you. Me and algebra didn't get along at all. It's a really embarrassing history if I was to describe it to you. But for some reason, me and geometry took. Now, don't quote me or let me do anything today, because it's been quite a while since I used geometry properly, all right? But geometry is pretty fun. But in studying this, I was reminded of something that actually our teacher had discussed with us in that class, all right? And so it's this 1-in-60 rule, all right? And now, this is very much not to scale, okay? And maybe it's a little hard for some of you to see this morning. I hope not. All right, this was as big as I could get it. But basically, if this is point A, all right, on the left-hand side and of that straight line, and at the end of that is point B, meaning that is the easiest way to get to where we're going, all right, what happens is if we change direction by just 1 degree, everybody say 1 degree. What happens is the further that we get away from point A in hopes of reaching point B, we actually continually get further and further and further away from point B, and we never make it. So much as they've made this rule, and it's rounded up for all of you who are going to say that is not the correct formula, all right? It is rounded up, all right? But for 1 degree, you are in essence, all right, every 60 miles you go, you're a mile off target. All right. How many knows if you're a mile off target, you're nowhere near where you need to be, right? Now, in 60 miles, maybe we would say, well, that's not that bad, all right? But in reality, it does add up. Now, we kind of look at things sometimes on that 1 foot approach or that 1 foot scale, because within 1 foot, you're only off by 0.2 of an inch. Who cares about 0.2 of an inch, right? Nobody, except for everybody who has OCD, all right? We care about the 0.2 of the inch. Everybody else doesn't, all right? But you see, within that mile, again, you would, within 1 mile, you would be off 92 feet, within 60 miles, a mile, and so on and so forth. And what is also notable this morning is that when you go and you begin to change the degree by which you remove yourself from that true course or that baseline. It isn't just an additive type thing. It's a multiplied type thing that you begin to get off. Anybody ever experienced that in life? When you get 1 degree off, things are kind of off. But then when you get 2 off, it seems like it's like 40 million off. Maybe that's an exaggeration this morning, but it does have a multiplied effect. You see, then again, the degree of being off course becomes greater because, again, there is that multiplication process that takes effect. And so what happens is you actually get off course even faster than maybe you thought you would or anticipated to. So standing where we are today, all right, in 2019, have our beliefs become off course or distant from those first believers as we see represented in the book of Acts, especially within maybe just chapter 2. If you just begin to look at how God was pouring himself out into that first church as it was birthed in Acts chapter 2, all right, do we really look the same as that first church? You see, that first church, they were preaching the gospel message of repentance and salvation through Jesus Christ. We still do that, right? We do, for those of you who are unaware, we do, all right? You see, they made specific time to eat and pray together. How many knows we make a lot of time to eat together, we don't necessarily make a lot of time to pray together? Okay. You see, they had a holy reverence for what God was doing in them and through them. They understood the commission and the calling that was on their life, and they took it not with kind of just a complacency, but they took it with a reverency. You see, they were experiencing multiplied miracles, signs, and wonders. Not like occasionally or, you know, ever so many years. They were experiencing those things on a day-to-day basis in their lives. You see, they were unified to the point of giving and selling their own things to meet the needs of others. Now, I do say we are a very giving church. And so I believe that even here at home, I think we're doing a good job. But how many knows we can always do a better job? Amen? You see, authors Phil Cook and Jonathan Bach describe the difference between the early church and the modern church this way. They said, somewhere along the way, we stopped aiming for radically impossible God-sized dreams and instead settled for realistically incremental man-sized progress. Ouch. Can I tell you that hit me 74 different times this week? Because how many knows that what God has placed within us and desires for us is so outside of what we can do in and of ourselves? I think we dream too small. Amen? You see, I think we dream in terms of accomplishment on our own ability and skill set. But how many knows we're meant to dream God-sized dreams? Things that don't make sense, things that are illogical, but that's never going to work. But why? Because God is what? The God of the impossible. I thought I was preaching to a different congregation. You see, today we often focus on what we might call controllable strategies. How many love being in control? It is awesome. Now, Daryl will tell you that I have control issues, but most of you already knew that, all right? I drove with him to Nashville, and I wore my seatbelt, as I normally do, not for safety on most occasions, because I really just don't want a speeding ticket. But when I rode with Daryl, I put my seatbelt on for safety. And I gripped everything that I could grip in that little Toyota sports car that we were in. And it's not because he's a bad driver. He's a NASCAR driver, all right? He has skills that will blow your mind and other things, all right? You see, but what we like to do is we like to be in control, right? And he asked, he said, hey, man, you want to drive? I said, no. I said, this is just God working out my control issues. I'm being built up in faith, all right, in prayer, all right? But we like to use these things, again, and I'll just call them control strategies. Things like leadership training, worship debates, church structure and networks, relevancy of today, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, all of which can be useful to the kingdom of God, correct? If done right, if done in his timing, if done his way, those can all be good things. But at the same time, none of which can become a replacement for the church's primary purpose. You see, and our primary purpose this morning is the transformation of people's hearts. How many knows we can have the best laid program put together, but if it doesn't have what God requires in the moment, and it cannot transform an individual's heart and life. You see, and that's our mission, that's our purpose, to see transformation not only in our own lives, but in the hearts and lives of others around us. You see, I think that is exactly what the early church was doing, and the results were super evident. Again, if you just begin to look through the book of Acts, you can see how these transformational moments were taking place, and they were taking place at a very rapid and multiplied pace, if you will. Acts 2 and 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily," everybody say daily, "those who were being saved." In 5 and 14, it says, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes," everybody say multitudes, "both men and women." 11, 24 says, "And a great many people were added to the Lord." If we go on to chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." You see, there was so much going on that the only way the other scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders and people of the day could describe them is that they are turning the world upside down. Is that how the church is defined today? The answer is no. Maybe a better answer is not currently. Anybody got me there? Not currently? You see, when we look closely, we discover some core beliefs and practices that cause these men and women to not just radically live out their faith, but experience radical results as well. How many want to live your faith radically, but you want to experience some radical things too? Things that just blow your mind. Things that you're like, hey, you know what? This was impossible until God did this. I want to experience some things like that this morning. Amen? You see, these priorities of faith acted like multipliers in their lives. How many knows multiplication is so much better than addition? Addition is good, right? Right? Addition is good, but how many knows multiplication is better, right? So, you see, there are things that we have in life that they have that additive effect, all right? They come to us in addition. How many of you take a daily vitamin? Okay. A large percentage of you, okay? That daily vitamin is only enough for what? The day, right? Because the next day you wake up and you have to take an additional vitamin. So it's not a matter of I could take this one vitamin and it's going to be awesome and forever, for the rest of my life, this vitamin is going to do exactly what I need. It's every day. It wears off. And so we have to add to it the next day. But some things have a multiplier effect, all right? And maybe the best way for us to see that is through education, all right? Because education impacts many areas of our lives far beyond a single day. How many knows it begins to infiltrate and it leads us to careers and job opportunities and raises and things? How many knows it goes further? You see, so there's additive things in our lives, but then there's multiplier type things in our lives. And I believe that the Word of God is full of some things that add to our lives, that give that additive effect. How many knows that if you take 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10, whatever, seven times, how many knows you get 70? 70 is a decent number, right? But how many knows if you multiply 10 by itself seven times, the increase is significantly greater, because instead of 70, you come out with 10 million, billion, crud. It's got like eight zeros behind it, all right? Whatever that is this morning, because the commas, I drew a blank, okay? It's a lot. Everybody say it's a lot. Everybody go back and say, Pastor John needs a math tutor, all right? So there's a few things that we're going to talk about. I was going to try to be honest with you, I was going to try to break it up within like 2 weeks. But I think the Lord really wanted me to break it out into, it's going to take about 3 weeks to discover all of these, all right? But I want to discuss some things that were multipliers in that early first church's life. And so the first thing that I want to talk to you about today is surrender. Everybody say surrender. You see, the early church was surrendered to God despite a hostile culture, despite persecution, despite imprisonment in jail time, despite literal fatal consequences that could be enacted upon their life, and even excommunication from their very families, and really much more than that, just so that they could continue to call Christ Christ. You see, they did that because of their faith in Jesus. They faced all of those things and worse things than we can probably imagine, all because of Christ. And that is who they were surrendered to. They were surrendered to Christ, not the thought of Christ, not the potential, but everything that he was and everything that he had accomplished. You see, I think even in today's world that we live in within the church, today we don't even ask people if they want to surrender their life to Christ, do we? In a church setting, even just like this, guilty myself, I don't know, there's been a few occasions where I've said, hey man, do you want to surrender your life to Christ? But most often we replace the word surrender with the word accept. Don't we? You see, most often we'll ask them, do you want to accept Christ into your life? And we mean that, I think, with every good, well-meaning thing that we can ever possibly mean well, all right? But there's a difference, you see, because surrender means to give up completely. When you get married, no, I'm just kidding, but kind of. You see, surrender means I'm going to give up completely. To where accept means that I'm going to give admittance or approval for you to do something. So what you're saying is if we only accept Jesus Christ, we're saying, I like what you've got, but I'm still in control. To whereas when we say, Lord, I surrender to you as Lord of my life, I'm going to live every moment that I can on my knees before you for who you are. What you're saying is I'm giving you control. You see, so there's a difference between surrender and acceptance. And what's happened, I think, a lot within the church world today is we have accepted Jesus Christ, but we have not surrendered to Jesus Christ. Ooh, now hold on, don't talk about my salvation that way. I'm not, but I'm wanting you to evaluate. Because what happens if we're not careful, we'll agree with everything that Jesus Christ is. How many know he's agreeable? That's awesome. It's the best deal on earth that you could get. But you see, we need to go beyond acceptance and we need to move into surrender. Because surrender takes away control. And it says here, I don't know what everything's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to turn out. All I know is I'm trusting you. And here it is. I'm giving. It's like riding with Daryl to Nashville. All right? It's giving him all control, all right? Proverbs 23:6 says this, oh my son, give me your heart. And I really think that the Lord is wanting that of us today. He's looking at us and he's saying, hey, I just need you to give me your heart. Give me control of who you are. It says, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways. He didn't say, give me your heart and then do your own thing, did he? So he didn't say, accept me and then again, do what you want to do. No, he says, give me your heart, surrender to me, and then follow my ways. You see, if we look, we know, again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, very familiar passage of scripture for most this morning. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, seeking first his kingdom means that you're surrendering yours. You can't seek his kingdom if you're trying to accept your kingdom above his. Amen? You see, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said this, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Do you see acceptance in that, or do you see surrender in that this morning? Because when I read that verse, I don't see a sense of acceptance. I see a sense of surrender. And I believe that is what God is calling us to. And that is what he called that first church to. And that is what they did. They went all in. They gave him everything that they were because they knew that he was best for their lives. How many believe this morning that Jesus Christ is still the best thing for your life? Amen? You see, one of the greatest problems, again, that the modern church is facing today is that we accept Jesus before we surrender to Jesus. And can I tell you that the only way that's going to change is if you and I do it? The only way that mentality is going to shift within the church world, within our homes, within those things, is if we willingly ourselves choose to surrender to Christ and not just accept him. You see, I think sometimes what we do is we say we like the way that we feel around him. We get those little spiritual goosebumps. It's great. Ooh, I like it when they play that song and sing that song about what he does. And we got all kind of, you know, ooh. Anybody ever had your liver quiver? If you've been in love, you've had your liver quiver, all right? You see, again, we approve, we agree, probably with even the majority of what he says. And again, what we don't like, we just kind of say, okay, well, I'll accept this, but I won't accept this. So I'll just put this over here for maybe approval later on if I feel like I mature that direction. How many knows it's not a matter of if we approve or not, it's a matter of if we surrender? Amen? And that is what we have to do because, again, we like being in control. But how many knows it's better when God's in control? Amen? You see, there is a difference between acceptance and surrender. So this morning, there's a question that we all have to ask ourselves, and that is, have I accepted Jesus Christ or have I surrendered to Jesus Christ? The second thing is this, scripture. Everybody say scripture. You see, that's the second multiplier that I want us to look at this morning. And I shared this a few days ago, a quote from Charles Spurgeon. And it says this. He said, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Can I tell you that that may seem like a very simple statement, but it's a very true statement. If you are in the Word of God and you are digesting it, if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal its truths and its concepts and precepts and commands and all of those things, it's corrections in your life. Can I tell you that when those storms of life come, you're gonna be standing firm and standing tall? And those things that would seem to press you out of measure and break you down and cause you to fall apart, what you'll find is they can't do that because what's in you is greater than what's upon you. Amen? You see, we need that element of scripture in our lives. The early church turned the world upside down, as I mentioned a moment ago. And how did they do that? If we look at the reality, they turned the world upside down with the Old Testament and then just the message of Jesus Christ. They didn't even have the full advantage of the Bible in its entirety as you and I know it and have it today. And with the Old Testament and the message of Jesus Christ, they literally turned this world upside down. So why are our excuses worth anything? How many knows we have been given far greater and we can do far greater? Amen? You see, today we need to remember that the Word of God is important, all right? You see, they were steadfast in the Word. Everybody say steadfast. Look at your neighbor and say, steadfast. Hey, you guys, pretty good. You see, they were steadfast in the Word of God. And what that means is they constantly gave attention to the Word. Can I tell you that life is easier when you constantly give attention to the Word? Now, does it make all of life's problems go away and now it's puppies and sunshine and ice cream and rainbows and all of those wonderful things? No. Again, there may be a challenge. There may be a test of your faith. There may be something that you have to conquer, a giant that rears its head that you have to slay. But can I tell you that if you're in the Word, you won't be shaken? You see, if you're in the Word, you're going to have what you need for those moments that you face in life. You see, for them, it wasn't a matter of time or an issue of convenience. And today, that's what we do. I don't have the time for that. I don't have the time to sit down and read God's word. But if I get a moment and it's convenient, I will. But you see, for the first church, it wasn't a matter of time or an issue of convenience. They were constantly committed to scripture. It was something that they were digesting on a daily basis. And history would tell us that they were multiple times a day they were digesting what they had in way of God's word. You see, they pursued God through his word, which gave them not only a greater understanding of their heavenly Father, but it also gave them the tools that they needed to stand and to defend their faith in that moment and to complete the work that God had called them to do. How many know that we are called to do good works? Amen. Like we've been talking about, we at a minimum, we have to preach the message of Jesus Christ and complete the mission of Jesus Christ, right? You see, the word is what gave them everything they needed in way of spiritual strength and stamina to stand and do what God had called them to do. Again, scripture for them was their single source of authority. Scripture was the single source of their authority in their life. Again, they had surrendered their life to Christ, and then they were basically surrendering the element of guidance to his word. They were saying, Lord, your authority, your word is more important to me than any other thing that can speak into my life. And for us today in 2019, we have a lot of things that try to speak into our lives. And I won't try to list any of them because then I'll get in trouble. But we have to make sure that in this moment that we're living, even in 2019, that the authority of God's word prevails over all other things that try to govern our lives. Amen. Again, it was their governing and guiding light as the Holy Spirit brought the revelation of truth to them, which in turn also revealed to them, again, God's plan and his purpose for their daily lives. And you've heard it a million times, and until he returns, at least from me, you will hear it probably a million more times. God has a plan and a purpose for you. There is a reason that you still have breath in your lungs and that you are walking upright among the living, because he wants to take what is inside of you and put that into other people. How many know there is a treasure within inside this earthen vessel? Amen? And that needs to be shared with those who do not have it currently. It was their source of authority. You see, the scripture had a huge impact on every believer who willfully began to hide God's word in their heart. How many know that if we will digest God's word, we will benefit from God's word? Amen? Do you believe that this morning? You see, they began to clearly understand the wisdom and the command that they found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, the book of the law, all right, or the word of God, all right, shall not depart from your mouth. How many knows it would benefit all of us if we spoke the word of God a little bit more than what we do? Because if we're speaking the word, we're speaking less of what's in here and in here. And how many knows if you're in the word, it'll change what's in here. And it'll change what comes out of here. Man, it really does have a multiplying effect, doesn't it? Just made my point right there. Well, let's pray now. We can go. No, we got a little more. See, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Everybody say day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see, the word of God, again, isn't an issue of time and convenience. It's a necessity of spiritual life. It's a necessity of spiritual health and wellness. It's a necessity if we want to be prosperous and successful. You see, letting the word of God be breathed into our hearts every morning and every evening isn't, again, it's not a matter. It's not an issue of time or convenience. But again, it's all about having that source of help, that resource for us that we can, again, focus and direct ourselves into. And how many knows when we begin to do that, it opens doors as necessary and it closes doors as necessary in our lives. You see, again, it leads us to a place where we are prosperous and successful. I don't know about you, but I want to be as prosperous and successful within God's kingdom as he has planned and designed for me to be. Amen? To do all that he has said. How many knows that he has numbered our days? The Bible tells us really that for each of us, he's basically written a book, for lack of better words to describe it. And in that book, he's written down the plan for our life. Again, if we're not careful, we get off by degrees, sometimes minute in our mind, but it's taking us away from that plan, from reaching that point B destination that he has for us. How many are thankful, though, that we can always come back into alignment with him? Amen? And we can continue to live out that plan and that purpose, those good things, those hopeful things that he has for each of us. I want us to remember this morning what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 in regards to the word of God. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us what to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. How many knows that sometimes we don't know everything? And how many know sometimes we're not prepared for everything? But you see, when we get into scripture and it becomes that element again of not just an occasional thing, not just a checklist thing. Well, I read my devotional, and now I'm done for the day. How many know sometimes God wants to draw us back to his word to make another deposit? You see, it's inspired, it's God-breathed, and it's there to instruct us, it's there to equip us, it's there to prepare us. And if we're not in the Word, when those moments come, good, bad, or indifferent, what happens is we're not ready. We don't have what we need to succeed. We don't have what we need to be prosperous in that moment. And again, I don't know about you, but I don't want to fail in those moments. I want to be prosperous through everything that I do for the kingdom of God. I want everything that I put my hands to be blessed and anointed by him so that it will be successful and it will give honor and glory to his name. Amen? If you would stand with me this morning. Surrender and scripture, the word of God, they are two major components of our faith that indeed carry that multiplier effect in our lives. But we will never experience the multiplication effects of surrender in our lives if we continue only to accept Christ and remain in control ourselves. There's no way to experience that multiplying effect that God has available for us through the element of surrender if we refuse to give him full control, if we refuse to fully surrender to him. You see, we will never experience the equipping power, the authority, the freedom, or any other manifold blessings of the multiplication effects of his word of scripture in our lives if we continue to view it only as a book or use it when it's just convenient for us. And you may think, man, this is just basic stuff. This is, man, you got to move on. How many knows we can't move on until we've built the foundation? And we've come to a place, sadly, in our culture within America where we're having to rebuild the foundation of biblical truth. Man, Pastor, you've been preaching pretty basic. Can I tell you that we're in need of basic training? You see, sometimes we need to go back and remember what we have forgotten. We need to go back and we need to employ what God has given us to be prosperous and successful. So for us to do that, we know that we have to surrender and we have to get into his word to do that. Amen. Surrender and scripture keep us in line and on track with God's purpose and plan, causing us to stay the course and lessening our chances of shifting or straying away from the path that God has intended for us by even just that one degree. And today, maybe you're in that place. Maybe you're like, well, you know, I'm not that far off. but are you? Because again, if you'll remember, just being off by one degree makes a huge difference. And the further you get away, the further multiplication in that area takes place. And before you know it, you're not 0.2 inches. You're not 92 feet. You're not 1 mile. You're miles upon miles upon miles away from where he desires you to be. And I don't know about you. I don't want to be miles apart from my Heavenly Father. I want to be right in the center of his will for my life right now, today, in this moment, and tomorrow, and in every moment before I see him face to face. If you would, pray with me this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what it declares to us. God, and how it shows us that we can become better men and women of God if we just simply take advantage of what you have given us. God, I pray that in this moment, this morning, that we would legitimately evaluate where we are. Lord, regardless of how long we have lived for you, regardless of how long we have served you, God, regardless of how long that we have confessed to be a Christian, God, I pray that we would evaluate our lives this morning so that we can know whether we have just accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, or if we have surrendered our lives to your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, if we have accepted, Lord, let us repent and let us surrender, God, to your Son this morning. Father, I pray this morning that we would be realistic with how we treat your word. God, that we would within ourselves be honest. And God, know that we need to be in your word more. God, there is no moment in life, God, that we can reach, that we can acquire, that we can aspire to, that, Lord, all of a sudden we now no longer need your word. So, Father, no matter where we're at in that process, God, help us to dive in deeper and, God, more frequently. Lord, not in obligation. God, not as if it's some form of a checklist, but, God, so that we can get what we need from your word to lead us, to guide us, Lord, so that we're prosperous and successful in everything that you've called us to do. God, let us this morning, God, let us be moved by your word. Let us be moved to action, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.